Welcome to RAPcast, the podcast for and by rheumatology advanced practice providers, where we bring you the latest insights, research, and discussions in the field of rheumatology. I am your host and current president of RAP, Amanda Mixon, and today we're diving into a special segment inspired by a new segment in RAP's quarterly newsletter, Spotlight Clinical Cornerstones. Spotlight Clinical Cornerstones is an exciting initiative by RAP aimed at highlighting the incredible members of our organization. We believe in giving our members a platform to showcase their expertise and discuss topics that matter the most to them. In today's episode, we'll be piggybacking off the latest edition where we feature one of our exceptional members. This segment is all about elevating their voices and shedding light on the clinical cornerstones that shape our practice. Our guest today is Lindsay Tom, a physician assistant at Northern Virginia Center for Arthritis. We're so happy to have you today, Lindsay. Would you mind giving our listeners a quick introduction?
Oh, thank you, Amanda. It's an honor to be here on RAPcast, and it's really a pleasure to be the focus of Spotlight Clinical Cornerstones. I'm a PA who currently works at Northern Virginia Center for Arthritis. It's a private practice in the Washington, D.C. metro area. I initially worked as a PA in GI after graduation, but now I'm entering my fifth year of working in rheumatology, and I really love this specialty, so I'm really excited for this podcast, and I can't wait to share a little bit about myself, my practice, and all the things I'm passionate about.
And obviously, you know, there's so many overlaps between GI and rheumatology, so hopefully that was I wouldn't say easy, because I don't think it's ever easy to transition from one specialty to another, but at least you were familiar with some of the drugs.
It did give me a little bit of a head start, but it still is a lot to build in rheumatology.
Definitely. Well, Lindsay has given us a thought-provoking piece in our latest newsletter, highlighting that as our knowledge and understanding of osteoporosis advances, so does our responsibility as rheumatology professionals to prioritize screening and treatment. So get ready to be inspired, informed, and engaged as we dive into the world of rheumatology with our featured member, Lindsay Tom, on this episode of RAPcast. It's time to shine the spotlight on our most deserving members. So let's get right into it, Lindsay. Can you tell me a little bit about your background and your journey to becoming a PA? And then also, I kind of want to understand what led you to pursue a career in healthcare.
Yeah, so I think, you know, as many PAs and APPs, you know, I've always had this strong interest in the medical field. And throughout my life and then during my undergraduate education, I at one point considered going to medical school and becoming a doctor, but I ultimately realized that it just was not the correct path for me. So upon graduating, I took a few years to explore the medical field. I worked some various jobs at doctor's offices and a few different specialties to learn, you know, from front desk to medical assistant. And it really just gave me the opportunity to see all the different roles in the medical field and realize that the perfect career for me was to become a PA. So at that point, I was confident of where I wanted to go to. And I applied to PA school, went to get my degree, and the rest is history from there.
That's incredible. I mean, and that's also really good that you were able to kind of see different areas to kind of get that idea of what you wanted to do. Now let's transition and talk specifically about the journey into rheumatology. You mentioned previously that you worked in GI. So what drew you to the specialty? What aspects of rheumatology do you find most rewarding in your work? How did you transition?
Yeah, so like you said, I had started in GI, but even my full background personally, I think my whole life I had this, you know, interest in the musculoskeletal system and joint diseases. My personal background, I was a competitive gymnast growing up for about 15 years. So I think just being exposed to all these aspects of anatomy and injury and orthopedics, I just naturally was really intrigued by those. But I started in GI and I thought that was great as well. And it just wasn't the full correct match. But something I did learn was, well, I really loved working patients with these chronic autoimmune conditions, which from GI is more that Crohn's, ulcerative colitis. And then I was also really interested into the use of biologic medications and all of these medications growing. So I took kind of those aspects from GI along with that previous interest that I had with the joints, and I found that rheumatology was really that perfect fit for me. So from there, it's been really great, and everything about rheumatology is rewarding. You know, I think it's a really interesting field. I think that you start to get to know patients so well, and you realize these patients, you develop relationships with them, and a lot of them come to you after all these, you know, sometimes months and years of not having answers. So being able to be that person who can help piece these, you know, parts together and give them answers and give them hope and help them physically, medically, but also change their quality of life, it's just really rewarding.
I could not agree more. I think, you know, it's interesting because to your point, we really form these relationships with our patients. I say to my patients, I treat every patient like they're a member of my family. And I believe that. And I think most of us in rheumatology do that. And the other thing that I notice, and you'll see this too, is you really start to grow old with your patients. And so some of my patients, we're kind of growing through the same, you know, things together as we all get older. So let's talk a little bit more about your practice. You know, obviously, as APPs, we have varying roles in rheumatology. And I really think it's important for our listeners to hear specifically about yours because, again, I want everyone to understand what these different roles are, how they're implemented, et cetera. So do you see new patients is one of my first questions. And then what disease states do you see in your practice?
Yeah, so it's a great question because it's true. I go to these conferences, I interact with APPs all the time, and we all kind of have slightly different roles sometimes. In my practice, I do see both new patients and follow-ups. And the exact split of day-to-day of what I see really varies kind of just depending what's on my schedule. And I see also all types of disease states. So I'm not limited to one thing or another. I see fibromyalgia to rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. But then I also, you know, will see vasculitis and dermatomyositis and, of course, osteoporosis as well in the mix. But the practice I work at, our doctors and our APPs, we all see a wide range of rheumatology conditions. We all see new patients and follow-ups. So there's not one particular person who specializes in a particular disease area. And as APPs, as long as we're comfortable with seeing the patients, we have the resources of our doctors to be there to help us as much or as little as we need, but we're not limited in the diseases that we see.
I absolutely love that. I tell APPs that are interested in rheumatology, you know, or that are newer to the field that, you know, I really want you to be able to practice to the top of your scope. Of course, you need proper supervision, especially initially. And resources as to what you said, but it sounds like the physicians that you work with have done a really nice job of basically letting you grow and allowing you to really practice at the top of your scope, which is just music to my ears. I love to hear when people are able to do that. And I guess that kind of leads to my next question, because you do see so many different disease states. How did you integrate into the practice? Because that's the other question I often get asked is, especially if you're newer to the field, like, how do you do it? How do you learn these things? What is it that you do? So how did they integrate you? Because it sounds like it's been very successful. So tell me that.
Yeah, so I was very fortunate because I'd say my supervising physician did take on a leading role in helping to train me as well. For the first 3 to 4 months, I shadowed him to get a better understanding. I didn't have my own personal schedule open. I just went with him with every patient to learn. And we also worked on learning the disease states, joint injections that I was not as comfortable doing independently at that time. We worked there as well. And there was even some time outside of work that he was able to spend even doing virtual, essentially lessons to me. So, which is I'd say more rare from what I've heard. So I was really fortunate in that. But independently, I'd say I also took a lot of time to just really take notes and review at the end of every day as I went around things that I realized, diseases I was not familiar with, what I'd have to go back to and work on and review. Looking at things online and conferences were also very helpful in person, but even virtual. There are a lot of conferences that you can even virtually attend, and hearing from various different speakers who present different disease states and different data, sometimes hearing one person versus another, we all learn differently. So having lots of different ways of hearing things, I think, with time can get you more comfortable and being more confident in learning those diseases on your own.
I think that's incredible. It sounds like your supervising doctor has been a true mentor to you. And even just spending the time outside of clinic, I think, you know, and that to me is so important and crucial, because oftentimes if you're in a busy day, you know, you don't want to have to constantly go to your, if you have a question, for example, you know, again, particularly early on, and have to not, I don't want to say bug, but like, you know, have to wait and bug the person and kind of say, hey, you know, what should I do? So having that time outside of clinic, I think, is such a good way for new APPs into the field to be able to learn in a comfortable environment where there's not time constraints. So it sounds like that would be a recommendation that you would give to a new APP and entering into rheumatology. Are there any other ones?
Yeah, so I know it is overwhelming, especially in that first year. So, you know, there's not always things that are straightforward. Even once you get the basics, not all disease states are the same in different patients. So definitely those conferences, you know, spending a lot of time to review, you know, in the office on your own. But, you know, the good news is with that time and being patient, especially in that first year, it does become more comfortable. So while it can be overwhelming in that first year of learning and it takes that hard work, I also do really think in the end it is worth it. And I think that, you know, those challenges in rheumatology is also what makes it so exciting and such a wonderful field.
I could not agree more. And, you know, I kind of, the nice thing about our field is there's not, I mean, it's nice, but it's definitely not for everyone. If you are somebody that wants an answer right now, rheumatology is not exactly probably the field. Sometimes that's the case, but, you know, I tell patients all the time, you know, it's like putting pieces of a puzzle together. And sometimes I don't always have all the pieces. And so what's fortunate, I think, about our field, particularly if you're new, is you don't have to make a diagnosis the first time you see someone. Like, you can really think about it. And, you know, we're all thinkers. We tend to be more cerebral. And so, you know, again, I think that also yields to better learning, because if you don't have the answer, you don't necessarily have to, you know, make a split second decision when you're seeing that patient for the first time. I want to kind of transition that into, you know, we need more APPs in rheumatology. Obviously, as physicians are retiring and more people need rheumatology care, you know, I really want to see more APPs go into rheumatology. Is there any advice that you would have for an individual who is considering a field, considering a career as an APP in this field? You know, to further expand, like, are there specific qualities or skills that are particularly beneficial for success in rheumatology? So maybe thinking about, like, students, or maybe somebody that's in another subspecialty like GI or primary care. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're still a student, whether you're applying to, you know, PA or NP school, and or if you're currently in PA or NP school, and I think if you have that interest in rheumatology, if you have the ability to shadow or do a clinical rotation in that specialty, I think that's really important. You know, the best way to find out if something for you is to get a taste of it hands-on. So if you have that opportunity as a student, that's wonderful. You know, if you're currently an APP looking to switch specialty, it is a little bit different, you know. So I think if you have other colleagues or ways you can network with those in it to get a deeper understanding, you know, I think we don't have a full recipe for success, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you have this desire to help patients with chronic autoimmune conditions, you have empathy and you have critical thinking skills and enjoy working with those critical thinking and looking between the lines and gray areas, you know, then I think you have the tools that you need to be successful as an APP in rheumatology.
Excellent answer to that question. I want to now transition a little bit to your piece. You stress the importance of rheumatology healthcare providers continuing to take an active role in ensuring that patients are receiving adequate screening and care for osteoporosis. I have to tell you, osteoporosis is probably my weakest area. And even after 17 years, I often have to ask questions of smarter people than me. So can you elaborate on why this is so important?
Yeah, so I mean, osteoporosis in the rheumatology world is just, it's not always the most glamorous and exciting area for everybody, but it is just so important. So, you know, in my article, I even mentioned how, you know, chronic inflammation, the use of steroids, which we all try to avoid, but inevitably sometimes we get stuck using, and this just contributes to the progression of osteoporosis. And for that reason, as rheumatology providers, we see a higher percentage of patients who are at risk for developing this osteoporosis. So because of that, we do owe it to our patients to be vigilant about taking care of their bone density. And, you know, the reality is sometimes, you know, we have to remember osteoporosis is not even just weak bones. It's weak bones that can lead to major fractures. They have significant associated morbidity and mortality. And now we have these drugs to treat osteoporosis, and they're much more successful than they used to be if we look at what we had 20 years ago. So these results are really significant, and we can make such a big impact to our patients. And I think, you know, it's just an important reminder for something for us to reflect on, that even in those challenging cases, these appointments that sometimes take that extra time and energy, even at the end, it is really important for us to take that moment and also remember to take care of our patient's bone health.
Yeah, you are obviously correct again. And, you know, I think that it's also super important, particularly as we do have new medication options. So it's not just, you know, Boniva or Lendronate, you know, I mean, there are so many options for patients now. And so I think we do need to be, you know, more educated. It kind of brings up with RAP, because we see so many APPs are managing osteoporosis. And even for people like me, where it's, you know, I get consults for osteoporosis and I constantly have to go look things up. I know we're working on something called Bone Club with RAP. And so you'll have to join that, because I would love to have your input and learn from you about all things osteoporosis. So is there anything else that we haven't discussed, or anything you haven't had the opportunity to educate our listeners on today?
Well, first of all, I would love to be part of a bone club. So why don't I give you good, good. You know, I think that the only thing I was thinking of is something you really touched upon a little before, is about the importance of APPs in rheumatology, because it's something that, you know, I think about all the time. And there's so many articles, you know, like with the number of physicians and doctors in rheumatology, and there being a decrease despite that increased demand in patients, you know. So that's why APPs in rheumatology are so critical. So I think it's something for those thinking of entering rheumatology, well, another reason why you should consider the specialty. But then also for those who are already working in rheumatology, well, first and foremost, thank you. But then also just a reminder that, you know, the next time someone inquires about your career or what you enjoy about it, or if you have students who ask you about being a PA or an NP in rheumatology, I just really encourage you to share some of your time and passion, just because we are so important to the field and the future of rheumatology. And we need to share that with those who have that interest and don't always have that easy opportunity to explore it. So we need to just keep that in mind.
I think that's, you know, absolutely incredible. And, you know, and I totally agree. And I think we're always, all of us are ongoing learners. And I think we can learn so much from each other. And I think that, to me, that's the beauty of RAP, is that it's really an organization that is trying to connect all APPs together, you know, in the field, so that there's not only camaraderie, but we can learn from each other. You know, and I, you obviously are out there doing it. It sounds like you have had just such a remarkable journey into rheumatology with great mentorship. And, you know, obviously, I think I know that this is going to be so enlightening for our members to listen to, especially if maybe they're struggling or, you know, kind of looking for some additional resources, what to do. Maybe even that, hey, asking their supervising doc to, can we spend 1 week, you know, one night a week, or even one night a month, and just maybe go over some things outside of the clinic so that they can continue to learn. I think that's such a great idea. So, you know, on that note, thanks so much for joining us on this enlightening episode of RAPcast. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to Lindsay Tom for sharing her expertise and passion with us today, which I definitely could feel as you were talking. So thank you so much, Lindsay.
Oh, thank you for having me, Amanda. It's been a pleasure to be on Rapcast.
So be sure to stay connected and be the first to hear about our upcoming episodes by following our podcast. Don't forget to explore the Rap ecosystem further. Download the innovative Rap Ace app for an enhanced experience. Visit our informative website at rap.org and connect with us on Twitter at RoomApp, Instagram, RoomApp, and for the latest updates, insightful content, and exciting announcements. Together, let's embark on a journey of knowledge and empowerment for advanced practice providers in rheumatology. With that, I am your host, Amanda Mixon. Join us next time on Rapcast.